Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. For this week's roundtable discussion, we have BYU sports producers Cleon Wall. What's up, Cleon?
Hello, everyone.
And making his debut, Carter Bond. What's up, Carter?
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being here, you guys.
I'm glad that Carter's here, because he's the professional out of all of us. I mean, well, at least between he and I, he's the professional.
Let's just say this man knows his Cougar sports, though.
Yeah, I'm not having to sit in the box with Terry today, so... Sorry, Terry.
Sorry,
I miss
Terry.
You.
The Cougars blew an 11-point halftime lead Wednesday night, barely falling short to the number 6 Iowa State Cyclones, 68-63. Richie Saunders led all scorers with 20 points, 15 of those coming in the first half, followed closely by Iowa State star player Tamin Lipsey, who finished with 19. BYU did not score in the final 4:23 of the game and ended up with BYU shooting 8-for-29 from the long range, which is about 28%.
Was it amazing to you that that game was that close, that late in the game? What I'm trying to say is that BYU was not making shots, and yet they were right there. I kept thinking, if they would only make a basket, they could win this one.
Well, luckily for them, they were making baskets in the first half. They made a lot of baskets in the first half. It was a tale of two halves. They looked like two different teams. Well, I wouldn't even say, I think the beginning of the second half, they even looked good. It just was towards the tail end there that things really started to slip. So a lot went right, a lot went wrong. Carter, what do you think happened down the stretch to the Cougars on Wednesday night?
I think guys just panicked. I think they panicked at the end when you saw whether it was down, whoever. We don't have to name specifics, but I think it was everybody on that team. Were you, either one of you can answer this, were either of you comfortable with anybody having the ball in their hands at the end of that game?
I wanted Richie Saunders to have the ball.
He seemed the most comfortable. He seemed
honestly
the most loose in that game.
Yeah.
I would not. I just don't feel... Richie Saunders is your energizer bunny. Richie Saunders is not the guy you say, go get me a bucket. Richie Saunders is the guy who's going to be left wide open. His shots in the first half, he was wide open. And there's a reason why he's wide open, because he's not the focus of the offense. So maybe he was having a good game. I'm still saying Dallin Hall. He's the guy that you want. You want the ball in his hands at the end of the game.
I'm going to say maybe, but not the play that they ran. It's the exact same play. Jonathan Tavernari pointed this out. The exact same play that they used against Utah, the University of Utah, did not work, and it didn't work again. And it just, I don't know. Dallin Hall wasn't the guy last night for me. He ended up, I believe, with 7 or 9 points in the game. He's not the guy you go to right there. I think this BYU team is really interesting. Someone different can be hot every single night. And I trust any one of those guys with the ball as long as it's there on night. Trevin Nell sometimes is nailing threes. If he was on, let's give it to Trevin. To me, Richie Saunders was on. Let's give it to Richie at the end of the game. What do you think, Carter?
Yeah, I think this is going to be the problem with BYU going forward is it's great that they have this balance. It's great anybody can step up on a given night. But going into March, great March Madness teams always have that guy you can pinpoint to and say, hey, go get me this bucket. Games get tight in March, whether it's the Big 12 or it's the NCAA tournament. These games get tight, and we saw the game get tight last night, and nobody really wanted the ball in their hands. You would hope a guy like Jackson Robinson would want the ball in his hands. He's an NBA guy, going to be probably a second-round pick in next year's NBA draft. But he didn't seem like he wanted the ball. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't saying, hey, give me the ball, let's go. And let's play.
But that brings up a point, is what's being said in the huddle. We don't know. You know,
yeah,
like, because maybe some of these guys do want the ball, but whatever the coaches are telling them, it's like, no, this is, we want A, B, C, and D to happen. So then they're not calling for the ball.
That's also true.
So we don't know exactly what's happening in the coaching. To me, when I was watching, they looked fatigued. And actually, Iowa State's head coach, after, when they said, what did you guys do so well to be able to turn this around in the second half? And he gave his team credit by saying our defense was really stellar. We turned it up. But he said also, he goes, I don't know if it was something with fatigue with BYU. He mentioned they're a very, very good team. Their cutting is fantastic. They're so hard to guard on offense. And so And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, they did look like they were drained by the end of that game. I don't know if they gave it everything they had, and then the last 5 minutes, they were just done.
I remember playing high school basketball, and I don't know what your high school basketball coach said, Lauren, or Carter, or whoever. Our coaches wanted to spend the most time on defense. They wanted us to give maximum effort on defense, and it felt like BYU was giving their maximum effort on defense against Iowa State. If there was one thing that heartened me in that game, it was how they played defense late against the Cyclones. Yeah, the Cyclones still made a couple baskets, but they also played really hard against them. So that's maybe why they were so worn out, is that they were just, if we're going to say they were worn out, I don't know if they were or not, but if they were worn out, maybe it was the fact that they were just giving it their all on defense. And when you do that, that leaves you fatigued on offense. And this isn't high school basketball.
Right.
You have a 30-second shot clock. You've got to get into your offense, and you've got to do something. You can't just sit there and play four corners for a minute so you can catch your breath or whatever the case may be.
Well, and you're playing against the number six team in the country, a very good Iowa State team. So, yeah, you're going to get fatigued. And maybe BYU is out-athleticed. I know that's not really a word, but I think a lot of times they make up for it with their hustle and their discipline and their poise when they do have teams that are more athletic than them. But maybe this is an instance where it came down to the end. And you're not on your home court, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have that incredible environment. They're all cheering against you. That amps up the guys. This is their senior night. It's their last game on the Hilton floor. So, I mean, good for them. I was happy for Iowa State. Stinks for BYU because they were right in it. But that leads me to my next question. Did this game leave you encouraged or discouraged after hanging with them for so – not even just hanging with them, beating them until about the last 5 minutes of the game? Carter.
Can I say both?
Yeah.
Because I think on paper, I'm encouraged. You're like, okay, they played really close. Nobody plays well at Iowa State. They were up 11. They played a good game on paper. I'm really discouraged at the fact you score 0 points in the final 4:23 of the game. That can't happen. I mean, if you want to be an NCAA tournament team to make the second weekend or make a run in the Big 12, you got to score a point in the final 4:23 of the game. So I thought that was absolutely unacceptable. I'm discouraged by that. My eyes are discouraged, but then my mind's like, okay, on paper, number 16, like you said, they're undefeated at home this season. On paper, I'm encouraged.
Yeah. What do you think, Cleon?
Well, I'm not discouraged. I'm kind of like Carter. I'm not discouraged. I'm still encouraged because BYU's hanging with these teams. I mean, these are teams that we probably thought in before the season even started. Yeah, they're probably going to get wiped out by Iowa State at Iowa State. But we probably thought Iowa State was going to beat them in Provo, too. I guess I'm not discouraged because I thought BYU was going to lose the game anyway. Sorry, everyone. I thought this is one of the games I thought, BYU's probably going to lose this game. I am a little discouraged at one part, and that is they keep giving up big second-half leads. 14-point lead in the second half to Iowa State. Granted, there was still 15 minutes left, so lots of time left. And that's what you love about basketball is that you can have a 14-point lead, and if you're the team that's behind, you can still come back. And we noticed that against TCU last week. But it's happened too many times on the road, and you could even say a little at home, too. I think of the Baylor game in Waco early in the season, the Texas Tech game.
Last night, I had a lot of PTSD from the Texas Tech game from last night.
It was interesting because in the Texas Tech game, Texas Tech came on real strong at the start of that second half. And that wasn't Iowa State, but they just kept chipping away, and the next thing you knew, they had the lead. Then you can say the UCF game at home, even though BYU won that game, they were up big, and it was a nail-biter at the end. You could say the Kansas State game at home. It's just troublesome that they're giving up so big leads in the second half. It feels like, and I've talked about this before, it feels like they still need that killer instinct to put some of these teams away. But I'm also encouraged, like I said, I'm encouraged by their defense late in the game against the Cyclones. They played really well defensively against the Cyclones late in the game. So that's why I'm kind of half and half here, because I thought they'd lose this game. But, man, they really played tough in this game, even though, like Carter said, it was disappointing to see them not be able to score late in the game.
Yeah, I think for us fans, our expectations have definitely risen throughout the season. If you look at yourself preseason, then you're – absolutely encouraged with how this game played out. But if you look at how BYU's been doing in conference play, they can beat anybody. And that is definitely not what we expected at the beginning, but that is the expectation now. You went into the game thinking Iowa State was going to kill them. I actually am like, this is going to be a game. I feel that every single game that BYU goes into, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I love that. That's what makes BYU basketball so exciting right now. I am encouraged. BYU was the only team this season to hold a significant second half lead at the Hilton. And they led most of the game. They just tanked at the end. But BYU is a good, good, good team. And I feel like every game feels like a tourney game. That felt like a Sweet 16 game to me. Just even how it ended. It just was, I just loved it. Former BYU basketball standout Kyle Collinsworth said on X after the game, "We beat ourselves, and that's good news." And I think that is so true. It's like, no, BYU was as good as Iowa State. BYU just beat themselves at the end, whether it was because of fatigue, turnovers, whatever it may be.
Do you think that's good news in March right now, or is that good news in January? Because eventually, we've seen this happen throughout the season, is BYU's beat themselves. BYU's beat themselves, whether it was Texas Tech, like we mentioned earlier, or Utah as well. I don't think that's a great thing going into March, but it's so hard to decide because before season expectations, like we've said before, BYU's playing with house money right now.
Yeah.
And so now in March, that just scares me. I don't like that.
See, to me, especially in the Big 12, that is just college basketball.
True.
Like, what's Kansas feeling right now? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I feel like everybody, especially when the league is this difficult, there's going to be some problems, you know, in the game. And some of your glaring weaknesses are going to show up, and then you take care of them. I don't think it – just because you lost a close one to the number 6 team in the country doesn't mean, oh, my gosh – the sky is falling for BYU. They're not peaking at the right time. I understand what you're saying. Absolutely understand what you're saying. But I think BYU is really good. And I think it was a minor thing that they can hopefully take care of.
Yeah. And can I be positive for a second? I feel like I've been the negative Nancy this whole time. If BYU shoots 35% from three, they beat anybody in the country. I mean, Purdue, UConn, Duke, you name it, they beat them.
Yeah. Yep, I love it. We asked you, the fans, what are you most excited about heading into the Big 12 tournament, and what worries you the most? We asked what was your biggest worry on Twitter, first of all. Coug76 on X said, Khalifa's knee, Nell's shooting, Hall's fatigue, yet looking forward with great hope. I think that was a good sum up right there.
I think that is. And that's been my concern has been Dallin Hall's fatigue, too, just because right now Trey Stewart's only spelling them. Whoever's leading the lead guard for like about 5 to 6 minutes a game. The funny thing is, he's not even leading the team in like minutes per game. It's like two or three other guys. But the thing is, he takes so much on him.
He's got the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
More than the other guys.
And he has to.
Yes.
No, he has to. And that's that. I would say, if I was going to pick one of those, I'd probably say Hall's fatigue is probably my biggest concern.
Yeah. Jason Sanders on X said, leads at halftime
is his biggest
worry. Jolene Campbell said, turnovers. David Stott said, live and die by the 3-0-7, shooting under 30% from three. Got to find a way to win when it's not dropping. Absolutely agree with that. BYU Stuff on X said, my biggest concern is a COVID infection or another illness going around the locker room. The team needs to make sure they are smart and don't go out, can't be sick and playing a step behind. Okay, we laugh at that.
But Khalifa, they had the flu.
They have a point. They absolutely have a point.
I've been telling them, hey, guys, don't go out. We want you to go to class, and we want you to mask up while you're in class.
Yes.
And then we want you to go home, and then we want you to come practice. Don't do anything else. That's just not realistic.
I know. BJ Buss said, we have so many awesome players, but we don't have that guy. That guy that can take control in the last 5 minutes, the guy that can calm the team down, the guy that can take a good last shot and hit the rim. Sorry. We've got everything on this team except that one guy. Every team needs one.
100% agree. 100% agree.
Okay, these guys are hard to find. Am I wrong?
Absolutely, they are.
They are.
But also, I agree with what he's saying there, too. It's not even the go-to guy necessarily. It's also my problem with Dallin Hall when he runs the point is – he doesn't control the tempo well. When the game last 4 minutes last night, everything felt panicked. Every pass was, he second guessed his passes every time, especially that one to a Richie Saunders in the corner late last night. Every pass was second guessed. It wasn't smooth. He wasn't confident last night late in games. I think that's what this guy is more so saying rather than, hey, let's go get an NBA talent that's a top five pick.
Right.
Because those are far and few between, and they're not coming to Provo.
I was just going to say, in the last 15 years, who's been the guy? And I thought of three guys off the top of my head. Two of them were brothers. TJ Hawes and Tyler Hawes. I could say those guys were the guy. You could put the ball in their hands and say, in a difficult situation, and say, go get me a basket. But you could also say, none of those guys were the guy their freshman year. You might be able to say it their sophomore year, but man, junior and senior year, it was definitely, yep, they're the guy. Same thing with Jimmer Fredette. It was his junior and senior year where he was the guy. These guys are hard to find, and it's going to be difficult. Whether it's Dallin Hall or maybe someone else on the team, it's going to be difficult to train these guys to be the guy. It just doesn't always happen. BYU's not going to, like Carter said, BYU's not going to find that NBA guy out there. They're going to have to train this guy up to be the man, whoever that is.
To add to your list, I would say Alex Barcella was also that guy.
I was just going to say Alex Barcella. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I don't think they need to be necessarily an NBA guy. Look what happened to Jimmer. I mean, no disrespect to him. I think he maybe in a different realm could have had a great NBA career. But he just had, for college basketball, it's different. It's different. It's more team ball. It's less ISO ball. You can have the guy, and he doesn't have to be a five-star recruit that's head of the NBA.
But even when you talk about Alex Barcella, Alex Barcella probably wasn't, he was not the guy his freshman year down at the University of Arizona. He had to learn to be that person. And I think we're still in that learning curve. I default to Dallin just because the ball is in his hands so much and he's your best ball handler right now. That's who I default to as who could be the guy. But it still needs to be, he needs to learn how to be that guy. And I would say, he kind of got a taste of that last season, Missouri State. I mean, you talked about Jonathan Tavernari. Hey, that was the same exact play at Utah. It didn't work. It was the same exact play against Missouri State, and it worked. But it's been a year later now.
That's not the Big 12.
It's been a year. It is true. And I sat and watched the video of both last night when he turned the ball over late against Taman Lipsey and the game-winning shot. A little bit different, kind of the same play. But you can see what happens when people pressure you a lot more, and you've got to be able to handle the ball when you're being bodied up, legally bodied up.
But go to big guys, just came to my brain, Eric Mika, Yoli Childs. I actually would
Yoli
love...
Yoli was probably, yeah, I would say.
He was, for sure. Yeah. I would love to see Foos, if I'm being honest. I would love to see Foos become a go-to guy. He is strong. He's athletic. I feel like when he... I mean, I don't know. That's hard. I wish he had a couple more inches on him.
Yeah. Let me go back to the Dallin point. I think the positive in all this is right now it's not great because he's going through these bumps right now. He's a young player. He's a sophomore, if I remember correctly.
Yep, yep.
Who knows with the COVID? He could be a fifth-year senior. I don't know anymore with all the eligibility stuff. But anyhow, he's young. He's a sophomore. These bumps are only going to be good for him going forward. His junior and senior year, he's not going to make these same mistakes that he is as a freshman sophomore. So I agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right.
One more thing. You said I'd love it to be a big guy. And we talked about Yoli. We talked about Eric Mika. I'm going to fall into an old trope here. The hard thing, though, is if they can't handle the ball, and Eric could, and Yoli could, if they can't handle the ball, it's really hard to do. Because all you have to do is say, send a double team their way, make someone else beat us.
Right.
And that's the hard thing about that. So if you've got someone who can handle the ball, like put it on the floor a little bit, and also be able to pass out, then he's going to be, whoever that post player is going to be that much more valuable.
That is a difficult thing when the big guy is your go-to guy, but what an awesome thing about what BYU basketball is right now, because if someone is double-teamed, everybody can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can make that play. So we talk about not having a go-to guy, but man, it's the fact that everyone is the go-to guy that has brought BYU basketball to where it's at right now. Carter also hit campus and asked a few people, what are you most excited about heading into the Big 12? Let's hear something positive. Here's the first response.
I'm just really excited about watching this team play in Kansas City. It's going to be a cool venue. BYU players should be excited that they don't have to go to that terrible arena down in Vegas anymore. Kansas City's going to be great. They've been playing really well to end the season, and they have a really good shot at making a deep run. What I'm most concerned about is probably those guys eating too much barbecue. Kansas City's really known for their barbecue, and I don't want these guys to get the meat sweats before they have to go out and play Kansas State.
Valid. Very valid. What's wrong with the Orleans? Come on, man.
Actually, yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I thought the Orleans Arena was okay. I mean, for the West Coast Conference, I thought it was okay. Now, the casino that was next to, yeah, that was a little dodgy. But
I would definitely pick Kansas City over that. All right, when we come back, we'll give our regular season awards in play. Would you rather BYU basketball style? This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Cleon Wall and Carter Bond. It's time to give out our regular season awards. Woo! Starting with the most improved player. Carter, let's start with you. Who is your vote?
I think we're all going to have a consensus here with Noah Waterman.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a debate. Last season, you can say what you want about him. He would, you know, he wasn't great on defense. His shot wasn't hitting last season. My problem with Noah Waterman last season is he always just stayed in neutral. He never get to that next level. He was never really aggressive in games. And we've just seen a total shift. I think a credit to the strength staff here at BYU and all the work he put in this offseason, he's a totally different player. He's a core piece of this team. He's been awesome. Noah Waterman's my pick.
Yeah, Cleon.
I would probably go with Noah, too. The only other guy I would say is maybe Jackson Robinson. But I'd probably still say Noah. Jackson has improved his dribble game and also improved his overall offensive game. So he'd be the only other guy I'd say is in the running. But Noah, I think, by far, is most improved. By the way, in high school basketball, I received the most improved player 2 times in a row. Do you know what kind of, that does to your psyche? That means
what was your point average? What did it change to? Did it go from like 1 to 3 to 6?
No, I think it went from I turned the ball over a lot early in the season, where at the end of the season you're like, yeah, he actually didn't do too bad.
Yeah, so 7 turnovers to 5 turnovers. Yeah, he held
onto the ball a little better.
I think the second year it was like, who do we give it to? Dartboard. Oh, hey, let's just give it to Cleon. After the second year in a row, you're like, huh, what does that say about me?
At least he didn't receive, like, the Spirit Award, you know? That would be even worse. Yeah, and the winner is, you guys, Noah Waterman. Absolutely. Good job, Noah. Let's give it up for Noah. Averaged 4 points per game last season to 10 this season with an almost 50% field goal percentage. He improved from 54% free throw shooting to 80%. Rebounding has almost doubled. Turnovers were cut in half, and his defense has been clutch. All right, the next one is, what has been the biggest surprise? Who has been the biggest surprise of the regular season, Carter?
Maybe Khalifa coming in. I went to a few of the practices in the offseason, and he was a little bit out of shape. I think he had some injuries going on and some health stuff maybe. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I see it with this guy. Completely changed my mind. I mean, you could say every single player on this team. I mean, you finished 6th in the WCC last year, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, all of a sudden we're 5th or 6th in the Big 12 now, and we're an automatic tournament team, a potential 4 seed. So you could say the whole coaching staff, too. Like, everything's just been a surprise.
Right. Cleon.
I think I may have misunderstood this category, because I just thought, okay, Ali Khalifa, I see that. I could see other players. I'm going to say Spencer Johnson, but maybe not in a good way. Spencer, you know, he's really valuable to this team, maybe because of his age. Yes, I just cracked an age joke on Spencer Johnson that he hasn't heard like 50 times this year. that he's the oldest guy playing college basketball right now. But he's so important to this team as a playmaker, a guy that can play in the low post every once in a while too, and as a shooter. But as a shooter, he's struggled this year. He's only hitting 42% of his shots and 29% from behind the arc. This is his worst shooting season as a Cougar, and I'm just surprised that he hasn't found the form that I was expecting from him this season.
I'm glad Cleon took my negative Nancy energy from me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
job.
Everyone.
Good job, Cleon.
Thank you.
I think Spencer Johnson is a really great player. I think in the Big 12, he's become more of a role player. And that could be in the shift of athleticism from conference to conference. And that could contribute to his lower shooting percentage. I don't know. Because, I mean, yeah. Where he's come from is incredible, right? Starting at a junior college and then working his way up. Love Spencer Johnson, plays a big role. But the real answer for biggest surprise is Ali Khalifa. Congratulations, Ali. Yeah, the Egyptian magician. Who knew? I was with Carter. Who knew what that guy was going to do?
No,
like
I mean, when people talked about like Serena Williams when she was up and coming in tennis and she's going to be this, you know, this great player for young women's tennis players growing up. Ali Khalifa and Nikola Jokic are those guys for people like me, just fat dudes who play pickup basketball. We can look up to him and say, yes, we can make it to BYU. We can make it to the NBA.
I love Ali Khalifa. He is. He's been a surprise not only to BYU fans, but from analysts around the country. Love that guy. All right, the next category is best win of the season. Cleon, we're going to start with you this time.
I'm going to say Iowa State back in January. BYU was 1-2 coming into the game with an ugly win against UCF, but it was their first Big 12 win. So they lost to Cincinnati. They lost to Baylor. They barely pulled out that one against UCF. I was wondering, are we going to see the team that we saw before the conference season started? And we saw that more in the Iowa State game. I think that was the game that I don't know if it gave them extra confidence, but I think it was the game that showed themselves and also everyone else out there, yes, this team can compete in the Big 12. I mean, do they get the win against Baylor at home and against Kansas on the road if they don't have that win against Iowa State early in the season? I don't know, but I'm going to say no. So I think that was the most important game of the season.
Kansas, 100% yeah. It's at Kansas. Watching that game from beginning to end, I remember just sitting there thinking, how is BYU still in this game? It made no sense. And all of a sudden, I don't know how you felt, Lauren, but at the end of the game, you're like, I don't know how BYU just won that game in Allen Fieldhouse against a Kansas team who was undefeated at home. Yes, they were missing their best player in McCullough, but still, winning at Allen Fieldhouse, nobody wins at Allen Fieldhouse, even in a down year. So I think that's the most impressive win, historic factors and all that, too. I think if you ask any BYU fan that was there or anybody that travels with the team, I would bet $100 that they say Kansas, too.
Yeah, I like your in-depth analysis, Cleon, on why it would be Iowa State. But I got to go with the winner, Kansas. I'm with Carter. Historic venue, first year in the Big 12 against a top 10 team, and BYU did it while they were quote-unquote unranked.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, right? They probably still should have been in the top 25.
I feel like my votes don't count in this.
We didn't want to tell you.
Okay.
I
think a sneaky one was the NC State one in Vegas. I think that's when BYU fans, it turned their clock, be like, wait, is this team a tournament team?
Team's for real.
Yeah, because San Diego State, were like, oh, maybe San Diego State let down spot, Marriott Center, big deal. But then you play a neutral side against an ACC team, and you're like, whoa, we look good. Like, we might be good this year.
Yeah. I agree.
That was all the coming out party of Noah Waterman, too.
100%.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, Noah. Yeah, you can play like this.
That's right. All right, our last category is who would be the MVP of the regular season, Cleon?
Probably Jackson Robinson. I kind of want to vote for Dallin Hall just because
he's... You won't vote for Dallin Hall. Do it.
Jane? Okay.
Prove it. We double dog dare you.
I think it's Dallin Hall because I don't think this team wins without his leadership. And yes, he's still learning on the fly. But if you don't have Dallin Hall on this team, running the team, where is this team? Who else is going to be the point guard on this team? So that would be my argument for Dallin Hall being the MVP of this team.
Carter?
I wanted to do that because I thought it would be funny that, because I'm going to pick Jackson Robinson, but now that Cleon's vote doesn't count. it's Jackson Robinson for me.
I feel like a Democrat in Utah right now, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Your vote is.
Yeah. Jackson Robinson, I think he's been the most consistent player. Yeah, he's had a few bad games, whatever. Everybody has bad games. But Dallin Hall, his has been a little bit more of a roller coaster at times, and I think all these dudes have just been up and down, up and down. And I think he's been the most consistent. You know, he's averaging double figures consistently. So I'll take Jackson Robinson.
And the winner is, so sorry, Cleon, Jackson Robinson. Yep, I agree. I think he's been the most consistent. He's held them in games. He's had some clutch shots, huge blocks, which I actually wasn't expecting from him. Great defense. It's got to be Jackson Robinson for me, leading scorer on the team. I don't think they'd be where they are without him. You could say that for multiple players, but I think he kind of stands out among the other guys. All right, we're going to play a quick round of Would You Rather. Give me some quick answer. Would you rather have BYU play the first round of the NCAA tournament in Salt Lake City as a 6 seed or play elsewhere as a 4 seed, Carter?
100% Salt Lake City being a 6 seed because the 4 seed, yeah, you get to play a lower seed, but all those teams are basically the same in there. They're all good. They all have won their conference tournaments and whatnot. Salt Lake City is what matters. That place is going to be sold out. Tickets are going to be super expensive. If you remember earlier in the season, they played Fresno State at the Delta Center, and that place was sold out. It was all BYU fans. I think we get a similar result with a few Arizona fans sprinkled in there if BYU ends up in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, 100%.
Yep, I agree. Six seed in Salt Lake, and that is pure selfishness. I really want to go watch them, and I agree with Carter. I think it's going to be a home court advantage for BYU. Dare I ask,
since
Cleon,
my vote
what
doesn't
your vote
count,
is.
I'll say the four seed. Why do you want to be a six seed when you can be a four seed? I think you want
home
the
court.
Higher seed.
Home court advantage, because six and four, there's really not that big of a difference between those two
and
seeds.
I don't
anyway.
Think
you're
going
to get Cougar fans no matter where you go. They are going to show up.
But 15,000 Cougar fans
compared
to 5,000,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
And also, agreed. I think altitude is very underrated. I don't think people in Utah realize, like, altitude stinks. I'm from North Carolina, and when I go home for Christmas and I come back out and I go to the gym, I'm squealing like a pig on the treadmill. And altitude's a real thing.
Yeah, and so BYU is trained in the altitude, so they definitely have home court advantage.
Okay, then I'll go – no, real quickly, I'll say this. Okay, so let's say I win as a four seed. What do I get in my next round? A five seed?
Yes.
If I'm a six seed, I get the three seed, a tougher team. I think I'd rather be the four seed.
Okay.
Good point.
Yeah,
good point.
That is a good point. All right, would you rather have a Big 12 tournament title or a sweet 16 run, Cleon?
Well, since my vote doesn't count, I'll say Big 12 tournament title. They have not won a tournament, conference tournament, since it's either 2000 or 2001. It was whatever year it was when they were in the Mountain West Conference. Yes, Mountain West Conference. And when they were in the Mountain West Conference and they won it, that's the last time. It was so long ago, we can't even remember who was. Actually, I think Amber Whiting's husband was on that team.
A regular season? Oh, no, the tournament.
No,
you're talking about the tournament.
I'm talking about the conference tournament. They've won regular season titles since then. They have not won a conference tournament since 2000.
Mm.
But, okay, so I'm
Carter wasn't even born.
I will say...
That's when I was born.
Oh, there you go.
I will say this. Most people are going to remember a Sweet 16 run here at BYU, so it's probably Sweet 16.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say, Cleon. Is it cool to get a Big 12 tournament title? Yeah.
If you're in
but
football,
what do you remember?
Yes.
What do fans remember? What does the country remember more? It's definitely going to be that Sweet 16 run. Carter.
I think the football point's a great one. People are going to remember a Big 12 title. That's a big deal. In basketball, let me ask you guys this. Who won the Big 12 tournament 2 years ago?
I have no idea.
You would assume you would just say Kansas off the top of your head.
Yeah,
probably Kansas.
Yeah. Kansas or Baylor.
Yeah, so. And 2 years from now, people are going to be like, wasn't it? I think Kansas won it 2 years ago. He's like, no, it's actually BYU if they did win it.
Yeah.
So Sweet 16 run, you're remembered for a Sweet 16 run.
Would you rather Foose or Khalifa in at the end of a close game, Carter?
It depends on the matchup. If I'm down and I need points, I think I go Khalifa and just, you know, try and shoot some threes and spread the offense. If I'm tight game, 1 point down or up one kind of thing, and you need, it's real tight, going to be a little more iso ball, two-man game, I'd take Foose.
Yeah. I'm going with Foose if he's down low. I didn't like that on Wednesday night they had him up top. That's not his role. That didn't fit him. They got Foose down low. I'm going with Foose all day. What do you think?
I'm going both. No, I'm just kidding on that. Well, actually,
it's kind of what I did.
What I'm saying is I'd like to see both of them out on the court, but they haven't practiced it, so it's not going to happen. I'd probably lean towards Foose because of his low post scoring, but I think what Carter said is actually pretty wise. It really depends on the matchup. The only reason I'd go with Foose too is athleticism, and I think he's just a little more healthy right now than Khalifa.
Carter, what you said was actually pretty wise, according to Cleon. All right.
Well, my vote
last
doesn't
one.
Count, so who cares?
Last one. Would you rather give the ball to a set go-to guy at the end of the game or just give it to whoever has been playing well? We already kind of talked about this. Cleon, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to say you go with the go-to guy. I think you still have to have the ball in Dallin Hall's hands. That doesn't mean he needs to take the ball to the basket, okay? But I still think you need to have it in his hands, and then you can kind of go from there.
Okay. What do you think, Carter?
If it's not, like, you always want to say take the open shot, but that's a cop-out answer. I like the go-to guy, but I don't like BYU's go-to guy, so therefore I'm going to say whoever's been playing well.
That's what I said. With this team, it's whoever's playing well at the end of the game. There's not one person.
Again,
that,
my
that
vote doesn't count,
out.
And you guys are wrong.
That and now that we're ending the show, the moral of the story is Cleon's vote does not count. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks again to Cleon Wall and Carter Bond for coming on the show with me. Carter and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.